Blog Talk Radio.
If you're on the West Coast, we are celebrating the fifth Sunday of Lent. Where has the time gone? I feel like just yesterday we were here talking on how we're going to prepare ourselves for Lent, and now we are preparing ourselves for Easter. Wow. So we're going to go ahead and break open the gospel. After that, we'll go in and I will deliver to you the last challenge. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. The last challenge of this Lenten season. The Gospel according to John. Some Greeks who had come to worship at the Passover feast came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we'd like to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls down to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also will be my servant. The Father will honor whoever serves me. I am troubled now, yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? But it was for this purpose that I come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven and said, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd there heard it and said there was thunder, but others said an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come for my sake, but for yours. Now is the time of judgment on this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out, and when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself." He said this, indicating the kind of death he would die. So we if we know the church and the liturgy, we're knowing that things are shifting. We're seeing a shift here. You know, the past few weeks we've been talking about temptations and, you know, all this, you know, like last week we rejoiced a little. And in this Sunday's Gospel is giving us a foreshadow on what's coming. Ladies and gentlemen, believe it or not, next week, next Sunday, begins Holy Week. This has been the quickest Lent I've ever known of. Truly it is. And all of us want the very best for those we love. But as we pursue it, we often have a rude awakening, right? The best turns out to be quite expensive, whether you're dealing with homes, possibly college, school, groceries, whatever. To get, it will cost much time and money, maybe even some blood, sweat, and tears. Ring a bell. We are then presented with the opportunity for a gut check. How badly do we want the best? Is it a burning desire that is strong enough to propel us to the steep hill where we will need to climb to get to the top? Or will we just rather settle for less? As Lent winds down and Holy Week approaches, the liturgical readings switch focus from our need for redemption to the dramatic choice of looming before the Redeemer. He had leapt from heavenly glory to indignify of a stable. He had left his mother for a band of uncomprehending disciples and a fickle crowd. That was all that was hard enough. But now, if he to fulfill the Father's plan to deliver us from the bondage of sin, even more will require the Sunday's epistle speaks of Jesus, tears and loud cries to God, recalling the agony he experienced in the Garden of Gethsemane. By the way, is a slope on the mountain. The guards approaching the garden with their torches were visible to our Lord from a long way off as they made their way along the Kidron Valley. Jesus saw them coming. He could have simply walked off the crest of Mount Olive and disappeared into the Judean wilderness. To tell the truth, he saw them coming weeks before that and could have eluded them at any time. But his burning desire to save us was greater than his natural aversion to torture. His love was even stronger than death. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Jesus knew that his death would be fruitful beyond all imaging. And being fruitful was more important to him than being safe or comfortable. We gratefully celebrate the love in the Eucharist, remembering that most solemnly during Holy Week. But the Lord calls us not to remember it, but to imitate it. We are called to be not just believers, but disciples. Jesus lost his natural human life, but was given in return a new risen humanity, which explodes the limits of humanity we know today. We all have a life that we're rather attached to, with people, places, things, and activities that we're all comfortable with. My life may not be perfect, but it's familiar, and it's mine. The Lord invites me not to give up dessert for a few weeks, but give up myself. He asks me to die down to my own plan, my own will, and my destiny entirely in his hand. Incidentally, that is what baptism is supposed to mean. That it is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. That I'm no longer in the driver's seat, but I've got put Jesus there. That's all that is dearest to me. put on the altar and will only take back if the Lord gives it back. Why should we do such a radical thing? Only if we truly believe that planting the seed of our lives and dreams in this fertile soil of the Lord's vineyard will produce much fruit. That we, like the apostles, will grow to be more than we'd ever hoped we'd be. That he would do through us, as through them, more than we'd ever dreamt possible. So here's the question. Is it being fruitful what's more important to you than being safe or comfortable or in control? We'll come back after the break. I'll deliver my final challenge and tell you some final devotion, practices, and yes, some fun before we begin to close on our Lent.
There's a way of life where simplicity brings joy and humility leads to happiness, where we learn that less is more, and in giving, we receive. It's our refuge from chaos and light to guide us through darkness. It's a place where the broken receive healing and repentant hearts find mercy. Here, our days are set free from anxiety and addictions, and our nights rest with more peace. So, where is this hope, and who knows the way? Our hope rests in Jesus, and his church leads the way. If you're longing to fill an emptiness or seeking a way home, we invite you to experience the peace that only comes from God. We are Catholic. Welcome home.
Welcome home. If you're falling away, not even Catholic, and you're tuning in, we want you to come home to the church. You can email me at catholic.teen.sb@gmail.com, or you can go to catholicscomehome.org to find all that resourceful information. And this time of Lent, the people who are going to join the church next week, that's really what the Lent is focused on for them and preparing. And you see, now we as Catholics need to add some devotions in, and we need to make the most of Holy Week. And Holy Week starts for us on Palm Sunday, Passion Sunday, which unites the royal splendor of Christ with the proclamation of his passion. Palms and olive branches are kept in the home as a witness to the faith in Jesus Christ and in his paschal victory. So a custom is to make palm crosses with your palm branches. And you just weave the branches right into a cross, just like, you know, you normally may not. And if you don't know how to do this, you can find a whole bunch of YouTube videos and all that kind of good stuff on there. Okay. Now, that people were going to, if you have a home altar, a crucifix, a statue of Mary, something along the lines of that, or if you have a home shrine or altar like I do, what people are going to start doing is this week, they're going to start taking handkerchiefs or maybe some cloth and putting it over the statues and the crucifixes, because it resembles that Christ is dead and we have nothing. We're lost without him. We wouldn't have all these holy saints if he was still, you know, alive. So if you even see this on Holy Thursday, your church will strip the altar. Even more so this during this week is when a big stripping of the altars happen around the world. Here in the United States, it's more commonly throughout Holy Week, especially on Holy Thursday. However, for me, sometime later this week, probably after the Gethsemane hours on Thursday, I will remove some of the statues and put cloth over all the other things as well. And the next time I'll see those is on Holy Thursday for the Gethsemane hours, again, which are the most powerful ones of the entire year, and then I'll just cloth those back over. But it is Holy Week, and we don't want to draw our attention away from Christ. We want it to always be on Christ, especially throughout Lent and throughout Holy Week. I mean, that's the main thing. I keep a small statue of Jesus on the crucifix. I keep a small statue of Mary. And I keep a small picture of John Paul and his relic because he's my patron saint, as well as my rosaries and things like that. So now we're going to move on to Holy Thursday. And Lent ends officially with the beginning of the Easter Triduum at the evening mass of the Lord's Supper on Thursday. And here are some things that you can do. Passover style meal. They have a special dinner that night because it's to ease the transition to the fast and the abstinence of Good Friday. A sort of modified Passover dinner. Lamb, rice pilaf, a raw vegetable plate, matzo bread or salad. And then you would read the palms as well as some red wine maybe. I don't know. And just read the psalms for the occasion, which would be Psalm 113, 114, 118. But there's two important things if you're going to do that Passover-style meal. And this should be considered a way of introducing one's family to the custom of Jesus' time in a very general way. Not as a center meal, per se, since the center meal is an important and sacred Jewish ritual that we would not make light of. Second, in the Catholic Church, this meal should not be interfere with our availability for Holy Thursday Mass, which is far more important. Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, available until midnight in many churches, is the best way to end Holy Thursday because of a long historical process whose origins are not entirely clear, since the Directory Popular Piety, the place of repose, has traditionally been referred to as Holy Sepulchre. The faithful go there and venerate Jesus, who was placed in a tomb following the crucifixion, and which remained in for some 40 hours. And I don't know about your parishes, but my parish, in the past 3 years that I've watched this, it's beautiful. You go in and you do the Holy Thursday Mass, and it's still daylight out. And, you know, you're celebrating the Lord's Supper, and, you know, you have all these adults that have already been baptized in another faith. They're coming in, and they're getting confirmed, and they're being pronounced Catholic, and they're receiving their first Eucharist, as well as for washing the feet. It's joyous. But before the night is over, our Lord, the host, you know, it turns dark at nighttime, at nightfall, and the lights in the church perhaps are dimmed. That's what happens at my church. The lights are dimmed a little. The priest leaves and then comes back in, and they do an intercession. Procession with the Eucharist all around each of the aisles in the church with incense. And after that, the daily mass chapel where the host is taken is now open. And they, of course, they incense the chapel. But the thing that happens is once the priests leave, the women, there's some women in the church, I think it's called I can't think of it, but they come and start stripping the altar, you know, they take all the decorations away, they put a big purple banner across the crucifix, there's nothing left, and then you were just rejoicing not even an hour ago, and now you're somber. Sorrowful. You're upset because Jesus is out of the, he's out of the church. And then, like I, like they said, you know, adoration of the Blessed Sacrament is usually until midnight. And that's what happens at my church, of course. And if you just, you know, go to an earlier Mass, I think all the Masses are in the evening. There's only one Mass. But if you don't usually go to that Mass, it's not obligatory, but really you need to go. You're missing out on not only seeing the people that are coming into the church, but you're closing the door to Lent. And you're opening up, you know, Lent, we're really tempted, and we're, you know, sometimes we're upset, but now that door is closed, and the door that just got open is even more worse and even more sorrowful than we have been doing, participating in, and seeing all of these times. And then we go into Good Friday, the Easter fast that many begin after Holy Thursday Mass is now obligatory on Good Friday. Ash Wednesday and Good Friday are days of both fast and abstinence from meat. Fast binds all over the age of over the age of 21 and under the age of 59. On the days of fast, one's full meal is allowed. Two other full meals sufficient to maintain strength may be taken according to each one's needs. But together they should not equal one another full meal. Eating in between meals is not permitted, but liquids including milk and juices are allowed. When health or ability to work would be seriously affected, the law does not obligate. And personally, since I'm part of the Precious Blood Devotion prayer line, that day, that those from Holy Thursday until 11 p.m. Good Friday, we are fasting on bread, white sandwiches, and juices, and that such. But I must tell you, for all of those who think you go to Mass on Good Friday, you don't, because there's only one thing. It's called a church service, because Mass isn't offered on Good Friday, but a communion service and veneration of the cross is. When possible, Catholics take a break from work between the hours of noon and 3 p.m., the time Christ fell on the cross. This is also prime time to participate in the stations of the cross. However, if you cannot go between noon and 3 p.m., for an example, I know my parish has them from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. They'll be at the 7 p.m. Another exciting thing starts this on Good Friday as well, and it's called the Divine Mercy Novena. Today, the special Divine Mercy Novena leading up to Divine Mercy Sunday begins. If you want to learn more about that, go to EWTN.com. From the menu, under Faith, choose Devotion, then to Novenas. Holy Saturday then comes along, and many of you may think that this is a time for the Easter Vigil. But I must tell you, the Easter Vigil is not celebrated on Saturday. According to Jerusalem Times, it's celebrated in the wee morning of Sunday, of Easter. And so, you know, Holy Saturday is an empty time of waiting. You know, we're just sitting and waiting. And no Mass is offered, not even a communion service like Good Friday. It isn't an official day of fasting, but many Catholics eat modestly this day as we wait to celebrate the resurrection. The Office of Readings offers an ancient homily called The Lord's Descends into Hell. This day here is the expert. Something strange is happening. There is a great silence on earth today, a great silence and stillness. The whole earth keeps silence because the king is asleep. The earth trembled and is still because God has fallen asleep in the flesh. And he has raised up all who have slept ever since the world began. God has died in the flesh and trembles with fear. It is a lovely way to prepare for Easter. the greatest feast of the church, which I'll talk about next. The passion for the passion. Hot cross buns. The making and eating of hot cross buns on this day of mourning is very old tradition, dating from before the superstitions around practice are even helpful. But there are some that nice legends and stories to share with us on this day, which are Robin Redbreast and the Dogwood. And out of all of those, Easter is like a day of feasting. You want everything. You want the nice ham. It should be more than Thanksgiving. Truly, it should be. You know? So, the main things that I'm going to challenge you to do is this week, if you don't already, or if you do, I want you to bring all of your Catholic things together. This does not mean to make it tacky. And if you think it looks tacky, then you're doing not what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to bring your statues, one of Jesus, one of Mary, the crucifix, and other images, and maybe candles and incense and pictures and that sort. And I want you to bring them all and put them in an altar where you can pray for the next week. And then as you keep going along, perhaps after the Gethsemane hours, you will veil them off, as they say. You just put veils or handkerchiefs over them. And you begin to fast from the church. Not saying that you're away from the church, but you are understanding that Jesus is dead and you're just sitting there in stillness. So what I want you to do is on Facebook this week, even today, if you can, to make a home altar or shrine and post it on your Facebook page with this challenge, saying to use this altar daily, to pray the rosary in front of it daily, sorrowful mysteries only, maybe the Precious Blood Chaplet, and from there participate in Holy Thursday Mass, as well as, if you can, Midnight Adoration, and then on Good Friday, attend Communion Service and Veneration of the Cross. And then if you want to attend and make the most joyous Easter possible, attend the Easter Vigil on the wee hours of Sunday morning or Saturday night. And you will see the goodness and fullness that your Lent and outcome has had. We've worked so hard this Lent, filling ourselves, and we still need to fulfill our Lent. And, you know, in the wee 2 weeks, or less than 2 weeks, we have. So, I'm unsure right now if there will be a breaking up of the gospel next Sunday, as I am due to be out of town. But please know, on the Why I'm a True Catholic Facebook page, you can find my calendar of events beginning on Sunday evening with the live rosary at 7:45, Monday, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, that goes off and on, and then on Thursday at 11 p.m., we do the Gethsemane hours until 3 a.m., and then on Good Friday, you'll be able to watch on YouTube, you'll be able to see the Stations of the Cross. I wish you all a blessed rest of this Lent. I really challenge you that this week, tonight, you gather all of your Catholic items, make a home altar, maybe sprinkle some holy water on it, take a picture of it and share it on Facebook, post it in groups, and challenge them to do the challenge that I'm challenging you. And that is for them to as well make a home altar and post it on their page, and then attend those services and begin to venerate the cross. I will see you all hopefully soon. There is no live rosary tonight. There is scheduled to be one next Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I will see you all then. May God bless you. He loves you. Jesus bless you. And Mary watch over you. And don't forget the challenge.